Sure, yeah. Is he saying that we need to live like no one else so later we can keep it to ourselves? No. The last two chapters of his book are dedicated to teaching us that the reason that we need to live like no one else is so later we can live like no one else and give generously and give with a joyful heart. I'm serious. The last two chapters in his book, that's what they're all about. The reason that we need to live, let's say that together. The reason that we need to live like no one else is so later we can live like no one else and give generously and with a joyful heart. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 9, 6 and 7, the one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the one who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a what? A cheerful giver. You see, when we give begrudgingly or resentfully, it stains the gift. Have you ever thought about that? Now, we're in the context of giving money to the church here, but in a Christian's life, this is every aspect of our life is this way. It doesn't matter what facade we put on out here. Whatever spirit we do something with our heart is the spirit that it will be received. It will either be stained or it will be a pure gift, a friendship. If you're just being a friend because of something that it gets you or something, that friendship will never be any stronger than the spirit of which you are a friend of that person. Does that make sense? As Christians, that's the way it is, folks. We need to understand that. Remember that Christian bubble I talked about last week. We live, no matter where we are, inside a Christian bubble, no matter what we think, and people experience us because of that. All right? Remember, giving is a matter of the heart. Proverbs 3, 9, and 10 says to honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. Anybody remember from last week what first fruits is? The best, right. So, you know, for the Hebrew folks, if you were a crop farmer and you raised, say, wheat or something, then your best wheat, your best grain would go as your tithe to God. All right? If you were, goats or sheep or cattle, then your best would go to God. Does that make sense? Remember that from last week? So, now, having said all that, throughout this teaching series, some of you have called and asked some questions. Some of these are going to be review, and that's all right. So, let's do some questions in review here. So, what is tithing? Anybody? Yeah, 10%. 10%. It's a word that means 10%. From a biblical perspective, tithing is 10% of our gross income. Now, remember last week we also talked about the Hebrew people and how they actually tithed about 23% of their annual income to the synagogue. And that was 10%. There was three different things, and I don't remember what order they were. One was a yearly tithe for the priest. One was a yearly tithe for the temple upkeep. And one was spread over 3 years. It was a tithe to help... Well, the one that's left is to help with poor. I'm not sure if that's the one that was 3 years or not. So each year they would give about 23% of their, household income, whatever that would be in biblical days, to the synagogue. But Eric, that's an Old Testament law. Yes, you're right. However, Jesus made it clear that he did not come to take away the law. He came to what? Fulfill the law. Remember? Bam! Remember that? Jesus came and stepped it up. Remember? Emerald Lagasse, I won't do it again, I swear. She was probably just sound asleep, and I just woke her up. So, the Emerald Lagasse thing, Jesus came and stepped it up. Well, it is a tithe only to go to the church. Is a tithe only to go to the church?